The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I'm happy to be here. My voice is a little, I'm not sure what it is. We'll see how that works. Sometimes when we think about meditation in general, and maybe loving kindness meditation in particular, we may have this idea that means that a person who practices it will always be calm and collected and nice, you know, that they will be very gentle and maybe even a little bit passive, feel like, oh yeah, everything's fine, you know, that kind of a thing. But if we look in the teachings from the Buddha that are kind of preserved in these discourses and attributed to this awakened being, we see that, in fact, the Buddha, if we want to hold him up as an exemplar, wasn't always gentle, wasn't always saying, yes, everything's fine, and exuding love and care all the time. But rather, you know, as part of his teaching, he made clear some things are okay and other things are not okay. And specifically, he was teaching about how to find more freedom, or how to find ultimate freedom, certainly more freedom and ease. And it makes sense, right? If you have a particular direction that you're going towards more ease or towards San Jose, it's helpful. You need to say, yes, go this direction, and no, don't go that direction. Don't go north if you want to go to San Jose. Don't get involved with things that make you feel really stressed, but also be willing to say no when you need be. Be willing to set boundaries. Be willing to be clear. And be willing to say, this is not okay. It's not easy to do this. Sometimes it's very clear and it's simple. Sometimes it's not so easy. And that brings me to this, the practice that we're doing here, this loving kindness practice, that in fact, preserved in the Buddhist teachings, are these instructions on how to reprove, that is, like how to criticize, or how to scold, or reprimand, or rebuke, or chastise. Otherwise, like how to set boundaries, how to say no. And I've stumbled upon this, and I actually felt a little inspired. I felt like, oh, okay. This somehow makes it a little bit easier for me as a practitioner to say, to help set boundaries and maybe to let somebody know that it's not okay. And it also helped, I felt like, I started to imagine like what the world would be like if lots of people heard these teachings and took them in and really held them as important and valuable and aspired to practice with them. So the teachings are, says, a person who wishes to reprove, that is, rebuke, scold, chastise, criticize, reprimand, a person who wishes to reprove another should first establish 5 things in themselves. Even this is helpful, right? Oh, before we start lashing out and say, no, that's not okay because X, Y, Z. First, establish 5 things. Establish that you will speak at a proper time, not at an improper time. When is the proper time? It's not always easy to know. Maybe it's proper to do it right after something happens. Maybe it's proper to wait until the recipient can actually hear what you're saying. Maybe it's proper to say wait until you feel like you have some clarity about what needs to be said or into whom it should be said. So first, set the proper time. Second, to speak truthfully, not falsely. That is to not exaggerate, not, just this is the truth and my understanding of the truth. I think we all, have understand the importance of truth, but there's kind of a radical way in these Buddhist teachings in which they encourage us to speak only the truth. And even though we may often be saying little tiny untruths to help kind of facilitate discourse, but is there a way that we can just have a commitment to the truth, to seeing like what, and to understand what is the truth? And if we're firmly rooted in that, then what comes forth can be heard better. Like often we can tell when people aren't saying the complete truth, right? Our credibility goes up and our sense of ease goes up if we're only saying what we believe is true. The third, to speak gently, not harshly. I interpret gently in two different ways. One is to not be yelling, and the second is not to be using harsh language, profanity, or something that would be offensive to the person. So to speak gently. I think we all have this experience of somebody speaking ungently to us. There's a certain like closing down that happens. If you want somebody really to hear, you can speak gently. Fourth is to speak in a beneficial way, not in a harmful way. This can be a little bit tricky. We don't always know what the consequences of what we're going to say are going to be. But if we have this intention, I want this to be useful. I want this to be helpful. I want this to be beneficial for this person and for me and for both. We're not going to sacrifice our well-being, and we're not going to hurt them just so that we feel better. But can we speak in a way in which it's helpful for everybody in the conversation? And then the fifth one, which brings us to today's practice, is to speak with a mind of loving kindness. Speak with an intention of goodwill, warmth, care, respect. Can you imagine what that must feel like, right? If you yourself are being criticized for something you did, we do make mistakes, right? So sometimes it is appropriate that somebody points out to us, look, this isn't quite right. But if it was done in a gentle way, trying to help us truthfully, and let's see, I forgot one of these, at the proper time, and the person had a mind of loving kindness, I think we'd be more apt to hear it and say, oh, yes, okay, I see that. Or we could say, well, I think you misunderstood. I did that thing because of this other thing that you don't know about. Instead of getting defensive or something like that, right? So acknowledging what's true and acknowledging what's not true, as opposed to getting into a big argument or feeling hurt or something like that. So I myself feel inspired by this. In general, for those of you who have studied some of the Buddhist teachings, this idea of right speech includes the idea of timely and beneficial and true, of course. And sometimes gentle is added in there as well. But let's add with a mind of loving kindness. This doesn't mean that the loving kindness has to be specifically towards the person that we're speaking. That may be hard. We may feel a little bit of a constriction there. This may be a difficult person for us. But with these practices, loving kindness, whether it's for your benefactor, whether it's for a puppy, a baby, a kitten, for yourself, for a loved one, just this experience of having a mind filled with loving kindness just shifts so much our perspective, shifts so much our willingness to do things that are beneficial, gentle, timely, true, in the manner in which we speak. So part of doing loving kindness practice, like this formal meditation practice that we're going to be today, is to help make loving kindness more accessible. There's certainly a benefit of doing this formal meditation practice. In addition, when we know that we're going to have a difficult conversation, or even if we're receiving some difficult conversation, can we incline the mind towards some loving kindness as best we can? It doesn't mean that we can all of a sudden drop into exuding loving kindness for all beings everywhere. But the more we practice, the more we do this, the easier it becomes. The easier it is to have access to that feeling of loving kindness. The easier it is to kind of let go of that constriction, that hurt feeling, or the self-righteous feeling. Anything we can do to kind of soften that, then our communications, of course, are going to be better. So in this way, loving kindness practice can help us just get a little bit more spaciousness. So with this loving kindness practice, we start where it's easy. We use this word benefactor, which I admit was not a word in my vocabulary until I started studying this. Somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness towards. Somebody for whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. It may not be somebody that we even know personally. It can be somebody we've read about or that we've seen or heard a talk from or something like this. If somebody doesn't come immediately to mind, the purpose here is to kind of incline the mind towards loving kindness. So if there's another being, I'm using this word being, to include, which for me, like kittens and babies and puppies, like fall into that category. But you may find something else or somebody else. And then after practicing with a benefactor, then we'll expand it to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness. And we start where it's easy, with the recognition that sometimes it's not easy to have loving kindness for ourselves. We may have a lifetime of criticizing or thinking, oh, I should have done that, and why didn't I do this, and these types of things. So to help support this practice, we'll bring to mind the benefactor of the self. And then to support the intention of having loving kindness, and support the intention of sending goodwill, care, respect, love, warmth. You can choose any word that makes sense to you. To support that, we will say the phrases. There's four phrases. I'll say them, and you can repeat them silently after me. And some people find it helpful to also really check in with this felt sense of care, warmth, loving kindness in their bodies. Very often that's felt in the heart center. Not for everybody and not every time. But there can be a sense of spaciousness or warmth, and that checking in with that or being attuned with that can also support this practice. So in this way there's three elements, having the recipient in mind, whether that's visualizing or what any other way that makes sense for you. Maybe having like a felt sense, remembering how you feel when that person is around or something. The second is the phrases. And the third is the felt sense in your body. But we don't want to make this too complicated. If that feels like too much, three different things you're supposed to do and remember all this, just do whatever's simple. Just do whatever makes sense and whatever is easy for you. The last thing we want here is to be set up in a struggle. Like, oh, I should be doing this. I can't do that. Oh, wait, I forgot now this. And what is she saying? You know, that's not helpful at all. And also with those lines, feel free. You can shift your posture. You want to be comfortable. You don't want to get in a struggle with some physical pain. You're welcome to shift your posture doing this and to help make yourself comfortable. And then with that, let's begin. We'll start with an alert, upright posture. And let's begin with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body, and it can also be relaxing to have long breaths. Allow the breath to return to normal. And to help us relax and cultivate a sense of ease and peacefulness, it can be helpful to check in with different areas of the body where we might be holding some tension unknowingly. The objective here is not to get rid of all of our tension, but more just to create the conditions or create the opportunity for that tension which can be let go of, to allow it to let go. We're not going to turn this into a big project or trying to make things happen. We often hold tension behind our eyes or around our eyes. See if you can bring your awareness to that area. Sometimes it's just this simple act of paying attention that can bring a little bit more ease. And the jaw. And the neck. It might be helpful to see if the ears are over your shoulders. There might be a little bit, just a touch more ease if you gently, very small movement, tuck your chin just so that it opens up a little bit of space in the neck. And the shoulders is another common place to hold tension. You can check in with the arms and the hands. The back, the chest, and the belly. Just allowing things to relax as best they can. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. And allow yourself to be supported, to be held, to be grounded. Check in with the legs and the feet that also can support feeling grounded. We'll start with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. You can rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing, that is, the movements of the abdomen, movements of the chest, or feeling of air going in and out of your nose. You can choose one of those three, whichever is the easiest, most accessible, and just rest your attention there. Most likely your mind will wander sooner or later. That's what minds do, especially towards the end of a busy day, perhaps. We don't have to make it a problem. Just very gently, kindly, bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. So before we move on to loving kindness meditation, know that you can always come back to this meditation, having the awareness on the sensations of breathing. If you ever feel overwhelmed or confused or not sure what to do, you can always come back to this practice. And then to begin loving kindness meditation, you can bring to mind your benefactor or the easy being, one for whom it's easy for you to feel love, warmth, kindness, care, goodwill. Visualize this person or being. You can check in and with the heart center or wherever else in your body you might feel care or warmth. And maybe there already is a feeling, a nice feeling. Maybe not, too. And then to support our intention of loving kindness, to support our mind being filled with loving kindness, for this being, we can say the phrases. You can repeat after me silently in your mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify these phrases to find some words that perhaps resonate more for you. And of course, they don't have to be in English. You can use whichever language feels like the right language to use. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the felt sense and see if there is a feeling of loving kindness. If so, you can allow it to be as big as it would like. You don't have to make it bigger. Just, if it naturally happens, just allow that to happen. It's also possible that you're feeling anything but loving kindness. That's okay too. If so, you can perhaps make your awareness be really big so that it can just hold those perhaps uncomfortable feelings or the non-loving kindness feelings. See if in some way you can hold those feelings with loving kindness. Allow them to be there. It's legitimate. Sometimes they arise. Can we not make it a problem? Again, bringing to mind the benefactor. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I'll be silent for a short bit here. You can go at your own pace, practice in your own way. Now we'll expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Using any warmth or kindness, care that we generated towards a benefactor, so we can use that for ourselves. Just allowing the circle, the sphere, the area of loving kindness to just enlarge. To include ourselves. Right? Just like our benefactor, we deserve loving kindness, care, warmth, respect, just like everybody. So you can bring to mind either a felt sense of yourself sitting here. Maybe feeling the pressure against your body, or maybe a feeling of your interior, your inner self, in whatever way that makes sense to you. Or perhaps you can visualize yourself as you are now. And some people find it helpful to visualize themselves when they were really young. Maybe even a toddler. Or a baby. You can start where it's easy. And again, we'll use the phrases to support kind of cultivating a sense of warm-heartedness. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit here, to allow you the opportunity to continue in this same way, or perhaps to do a different practice, or whatever feels right at this moment. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the cushion or the chair against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with this practice, just inclining the mind that it can find some spaciousness and warmth and wishing goodwill for others. We may need that. We need it in all aspects of our lives, right? But a reminder that the teachings on speech are to speak. Even if you are reproving somebody, or even if you're just speaking in general, to have a mind of loving kindness, speak in a beneficial way, speak in a way that is gentle, and that is truthful and timely. I knew somebody once who just thought that it was true. So this person was saying things that actually were harmful, hurtful for people. It just wasn't the right time to be saying certain things, and it wasn't helping. But they felt like, oh, it's true, so I should be saying these things. So, and this idea of loving kindness, I think, is especially true if we're going to be giving feedback to somebody or setting clear boundaries that somebody doesn't want to hear. And during this practice, we may not feel or see any benefits exactly right now when we're meditating. It's a curious thing about meditation practice, that it's the effects we see perhaps in our daily life, as opposed to having a particular experience while we have our eyes closed meditating. The neuroscientists tell us that we're building neural pathways or neural connections. So whether or not we have particular experiences while we're meditating, it becomes easier and easier to have particular mental experiences if we cultivate them, develop them. It's not surprising to us. This is how we learn how to do everything. So now I'd like to open it up to some questions or comments about this practice of loving kindness, for a benefactor or for yourself, or this practice of speech and the loving kindness to help us with speech. Actually, it occurs to me that we use this word speech. Speech is so powerful, right? So many relationships get ended or harmed or started, you know, with speech. But it's more than just our spoken words. It's, of course, our emails, our texts, our tweets, our bumper stickers, our tattoos, you know, all these things, right? The ways that we speak. Does anybody have a comment or a question? Yes, I will.
I love this practice, and I find it very personally helpful.
Oh, I'm happy to hear this.
And I just really, it's very peaceful, and I really do feel that it's helpful.
Yeah, so are you feeling, after doing this practice, when you're saying it's helpful, are you feeling, more calm and more warm-hearted, or in what ways?
I mean, in general, I've been doing this practice for some time now, about once a week or so. And in my life, I tend to begin to see connections that are sort of oriented in peace and balance, if that makes sense.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, sometimes even just setting the intention for peace and balance, we may just start to notice it more often in our lives. And just that act of noticing kind of helps support it from arising more and more, right? What we incline our mind towards. So, thank you. Anybody else have a question or a comment? It was really germane to your work week, so thank you. Yes. Yeah, right? This is often built into kind of corporate America or even startups, like, okay, we're going to give you feedback and you know, all this kind of stuff, and sometimes it'd be nice if everybody thought about this too. And it's a skill to know how to speak to others and to say things that they're may not want to hear. This is a real skill, and it's worth thinking about and spending time considering how best to do that. Not only what words to say, but, you know, for us to feel grounded and steady as best we can, right? If we wait for the perfect time, maybe we'll never say things true also. Okay, hold this as an aspiration. So, yes, we'll send the microphone back that direction.
What particular bumper stickers and tattoos were you thinking of?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember this the details of one, but it was supposed to be a joke. But it was, I found it offensive. And I thought, like, wow, what kind of a person, you know, maybe sometimes we say jokes that don't land well, or you know, it's not the right audience or whatever. But to put this on your car so that everybody sees it, I just found myself thinking, what kind of a person is driving this car? Yeah, so. And where was I? I don't remember exactly where I was, but I saw somebody who had a tattoo on their on the inner of their forearm that said "mindful." Oh, okay. I wonder if this person's a practitioner. I didn't have the opportunity that I could talk to them, but that's interesting. Okay, they're putting this as a way to help them remember to be present, I guess, or maybe it's the name of their true love. I don't know, but.
I find myself often in the situation where I know that the person I'm speaking to that this is not the right time, that they're not going to hear it, that it's not, they're not open to whatever it is I'm about to say. And yet I also know that that's the only chance I'm going to have to speak with that person. So I find myself often in the situation of debating, so I know this is wrong to and ineffective to be saying this now, but I'm not going to see him again for X weeks. This is my only chance, and I know it needs to be said. So it's kind of a marginalized speaking because I know that it's not as effective as it could be. But I feel like to bypass the opportunity entirely means it doesn't, not even a little bit of it goes through. So I'm often finding that situation.
Yeah. This is really interesting. So then we ask ourselves to help us with these things. Does it really need to be said? If it's not going to be heard, it's not going to be effective. Why are we saying this? Sometimes it is information, something that's helpful. But sometimes it's about I want to feel more comfortable. I have no idea what's happening with you, right? I'm just saying in general, we're saying things because to make us feel better or something to help us have a little, but it's maybe not helpful for the other person. Maybe it's, you know, it's the right time for us, but not the right time for them. So it's, this is not so easy, not so easy. And also this idea about, is it the right time? Well, what can we do to help create the right time? What can we do to help create the conditions that they are able to hear, or that they are, for whatever makes it the wrong time? Like, what can we do to help create that? Yes, speech is really important. I think it's worthwhile for us to think about this. And maybe I'll just add one, not related to what you were saying, but just the general topic about speech. It's so easy to not mention, and I didn't mention. It's worthwhile for us to examine, how do we talk to ourselves? Right, this goes in here too. And just to notice how sometimes, whether it's, is it beneficial? You know, maybe it's okay to say, Diana, please remember to do this. And maybe it's beneficial to do that the first 10 times. But maybe the 1,000th time, it's not so beneficial anymore, right? So just take it, notice those things too, how we talk to ourselves. Is it true? Often we tell ourselves things that aren't true. Oh, you know, we chastise ourselves. Oh, you're an idiot. Why didn't you do that? We're not idiots. We just maybe forgot something. It's not helpful to say, call ourselves names or to say things like that. It's not true. And sometimes the voice in our head feels authoritative, maybe because we've heard it so much. It doesn't have to be so authoritative. It's easy for me to say this. It's not so easy to kind of recognize this and do that, but this is how it begins, is just to notice, oh yeah, I'm talking to myself with this kind of a tone in this particular way, without a heart of loving kindness, in a way that isn't beneficial. I'm not even sure if this is true. So, something to add on to that, yes.
To add on to that, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, or I don't remember, but the last time I was here, I had come to you and said, oh, I've been beating myself up. And then I started to notice when I'm being particularly hard on myself, I'm also being particularly hard on everyone around me. And it's so it's not linear or one way, it's dynamic. And then sometimes it goes the other way. If I want to be upset with someone else, but I can't express that, I'll internalize it and take it out on myself. And so it's been interesting to notice that tone, or the words, the language, the messaging that I'm giving to myself, and then how irritated I am with people on the road. They're so connected. But when I'm easy on myself, I'm not so critical of other people. And so, yeah, that's really interesting to notice this and work with it. It's powerful.
Yes, this is fantastic that you notice this. Do you have a sense of, like, what is your, I'm going, like, as I'm pointing towards my body, what is your, like, your felt sense or the sense of your thinking? For example, do you feel spacious and relaxed or tight and contracted? Are your thoughts going, like, really fast, or are they kind of relaxed?
I've done all that.
Yeah. But have you noticed, like, when you're being critical of others and when you're being critical of yourself,
yes.
Is there something consistent?
Yeah. Constricted, tight. I don't feel like I can breathe, and I'm probably not. I work at the hospital, and I noticed when I'm really stressed out, I'm actually, my breathing is super shallow. And then I go, wait, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely then also another relationship, how my body feels when I'm in those different states. I've been working with the mantra, doing some Joseph Goldstein meditations. be simple, be easy.
Nice.
And I just kind of started thinking about those words, and then I kind of already, I felt a little looser just by thinking about what is simple, what is easy, how do I be that, what does that mean, blah, 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 all the
nice
stuff.
Yeah, so we may notice that when we have this tight, constricted feeling, maybe difficulty with breathing, that actually everything, we tend to be a little bit more critical, other people, other institutions, things, ourselves, kind of everything. This is how loving kindness practice can help us have a little bit more softness, a little bit more space, and then everything kind of shifts, our perspective shifts. It's amazing, really, the connection between our minds and our bodies, and you can work with either one. Maybe sometimes just particularly paying attention with your body can help your mind relax a little bit. Sometimes relaxing your mind can help your body, too. There's a number of different ways in, but they're definitely all connected. And this loving kindness practice is a way for us to kind of encourage some warm-heartedness for ourselves and for others. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, so we'll end. I'll stay here. You're welcome to come up and talk to me if you'd like. But may you find the, I don't know, the capacity, the capability, the experience. What does it feel like to talk with others in a way that's timely, beneficial, gentle, true, and with a heart of loving kindness? Thank you.